Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Kim and the band. Yes, 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 for that very great, inspiring theme song, Clouds of Abundance. Well, it is another day in paradise here in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome all into our Paradise One studio, where every day is a holiday and the party never stops. Yay!
Yay!
All right, T, I am Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, with our program based on this book today. Like you, all you regulars know, I always do an opening prayer as we start off to get a good blessing for our show. And like I mentioned on this program before, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I'm mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. What's the name of God? We thank you for life you have given us today. Thank you for the knowledge of how to receive and benefit from your grace, mercy, and blessings. Thank you for showing us how to open up within and tap the abundance you have placed within each and every one of us. Thank you for the angels, yes, the angels you have sent among us, reminding us that we are on the right path. Thank you for the assurance of protection, guidance, and manifestation of our divine destiny. Amen. All right. All right, for our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
Let us hear from you as we learn the needs of our child self. The chapters in the book that address these needs are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addictions, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address, nrbookclub@cox.net. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, bookclub, nrbookclub@cox.net. He sends out blogs and book excerpts every month from fans who connect with him. Book-related information such as book signing dates, webinars, and workshops are sent from there as well. The book Reconnected will be released and available this summer. Nazim?
Okay, all righty then. This is the Reconnected Show, the key to personal power. Yes, the key to personal power. This is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. Reconnected is for those adults who want to create real internal change in their lives by addressing significant emotional events in their past which are affecting them presently. It is also for parents who want vital information in raising their genius young souls. Mentors who can appreciate additional tools for their mentees, and teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. And also for couples wanting a better relationship, yes, they can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered. And also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to their guiding source energy, to God. Okay, and as you regulars know, we have a happy news segment every week. We want to also always promote happy, great events happening here and abroad. And there's happy events, news happening all the time. Most of us hear nothing about it because we're listening to mainstream media. But this is what we're going to do here. And I'm going to inspire someone, maybe myself, to start what I'm calling the APN Network, All Positive News Network. With that in mind, at an international and national news desk, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
The title of, excuse me, the title of this article is Make Money, Do Good is New Corporate Buzz. What's good for the community is actually good for business.
All right.
Admitting you admitting you're making money by doing some good in the world is no longer a dirty little secret. It's called creating shared value, the new catchphrase in corporate and philanthropic circles. More than 70 chief executives met in New York on Monday, International Corporate Philanthropy Day, for a corporate encouraging corporate philanthropy conference, where one of the key topics discussed was creating shared value. As the U.S. economy slowly recovers from the worst economic downturn in decades, corporate philanthropy is no longer just about writing a check for charity as executives look to use their core business to do social good. Once you understand the impact you can have, then you are on a mission. Then it becomes spiritual. It becomes part of the DNA of the company, said Bill Green, chairman of Accenture, who spoke at the conference about maximizing profit and improving society. Shelley Lazarus, chairwoman of Ogilvy and Mather Worldwide, said that many of the business leaders agreed that being in good corporate, a good corporate citizen had to be at the center of the company, of a company. There was almost an acceptance from the start that the days of check-writing philanthropy were over, she said. Doing the right thing actually drives revenue. Green, Lazarus, and Doug Conant, chief executive of Campbell Soup Company, said shared value was essential to attract talent as it had emerged as a priority among younger generations. The corporate world is built to respond to the environment, and the environment clearly needs the corporate world to play a greater role in having impact on society, Kanat said. The growing trend has been dubbed creating shared value by Michael Porter of the Institute of Strategy and Competitiveness at Harvard Business School, who said companies need to reconnect business success with social progress. We need to understand that what's good for the community is actually good for business, said Porter, who spoke to the business leaders about the idea at the World Economic Forum in Davos last month. If we can organize ourselves to do this stuff inside our operating units rather than on the side, we can have a profound effect on many of the most important social issues of our time, he said. Porter said Swiss food company Nestle had helped poor coffee farmers produce higher yields and quality, increasing their income, reducing their environmental impact, and boosting Nestle's reliable supply of good coffee. Robert Harrison, chief executive of former U.S. President Bill Clinton's Clinton Global Initiative, said more and more companies are building into their DNA doing social or environmental good. The idea of making money and at the same time achieving some social good or environmental good, I would say, is the accepted ideal or the goal for many corporations, he said. Harrison said an example of this was a CGI commitment made by Walmart Stores Incorporated to work with its tens of thousands of suppliers to reduce packaging, saving the company billions of dollars and cutting its carbon footprint. The Clinton Global Initiative, which has brought together chief executives, world leaders, and humanitarians annually since 2005 to address global woes, hopes to further encourage U.S. companies to create shared value with a summit in Chicago in June, on June 29th and 30th to address the fragile U.S. recovery. Corporations made up 4% of U.S. giving in 2009, while individuals accounted for 75%, giving $227 billion. According to a Giving USA Foundation report researched by the Center of Philanthropy at Indiana University, charitable contributions by corporations were valued at $14.1 billion in 2009, the report said. Two-thirds was cash and in-kind contributions from company budgets, and the rest grants by corporate foundations. Nazim?
Well, okay. All righty then. Yes, there is a definite shift going on right now in our corporate world, and we're going to start seeing that. And when some of us are seeing it already, things are changing. Absolutely. Okay, you know, today's theme song, Optimism Part 3. And by the way, our chat room is going to be open here. And so I do forget to mention it sometimes. So those of you who want to just pose a question can do that. And I will probably answer that after the show and get back right back to you. But we always want to make sure that we're available for you. All right? Okay, so after you go on to the blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, you can sign in and take advantage of the chat sessions. All right? All right. Optimism Part 3 in our last show. I always do a recap of our past programs so it'll inspire you to go back and hear the whole show. We had author of Pop the Paradigm, Sandy Daly. She was with us as she shared how she found optimism and radiates with it now. After enduring an extremely abusive relationship for many, many years, she said to herself that it has to be a better way to live than this. One summer, she said to herself that she is now willing to entertain that thought. Okay? Once and after so many years of going through all the abuse that she went through, she finds that she's now willing to entertain that thought, whereas before she wasn't. That was what she calls the open moment for her. It was during this time in her life, when she saw a program on TV that was saying that we all deserve to have our dreams come true. She also heard this: if you want to be powerful in your life, if you want to be powerful in your own life, be responsible for your own peace. I'll say it again. If you want to be powerful in your own life, be responsible for your own peace. All right. You can choose your perceptions and your outlook. She looked for things to be grateful for and amazingly found more things to be grateful for. This made her very optimistic. She said that she stands in the open moment now, in the realm of possibilities. In order to stay in the optimistic mode, Sandy says that she has reminders in her phone that go off every 2 hours. Isn't that something? Reminders in her phone that go off every 2 hours. This gives her the opportunity to see where her mind is right then and change it, if necessary. This reminder poses the question for her: what am I thinking right now? What am I thinking? What are you thinking right now? Interesting. She said to herself, I am choosing to live a happy life. There's no growth in your comfort zone. She also says, I wouldn't be able to dream this dream if it wasn't meant for me to live it. I am not my history. Fantastic. All right. To hear the whole story, go to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected and click on Optimism Part 2, Sandy Daly, and you can hear the whole show there. All right. Now, today we have inspirational speaker, CEO of StepmanOutOfTheBox.org and Blog Talk Radio host, Terry Clay. She uses her failures to help others become the people of destiny that God has called them to be. She utilizes her gift of positive thinking to produce people of standard. Also during this journey, God also told her to start a nonprofit organization called Stepping Out of the Box. All right. This organization helps young people leave a small boxed-in setting of where they live and are familiar and grow and learn by traveling and being exposed to other people, places, and ideas. This nonprofit will be open in the summer of 2000. Well, it has opened in the summer 2010. Okay, here we go. Yes. Regarding optimism, she says, God made us all for a purpose and created us with a thought in mind. Even if you can't see it with your actual eyes, trust through the eyes of faith that he will bring it all to pass. Without any further ado, I bring to you Terry Clay. Terry, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Did I do a good job bringing you on there?
Yeah, you did. That's who I am. A great, great, great introduction.
All right. We're all willing to see, but what they can see, I guess. You can have the eyes of faith, I guess. But to hear and experience your story here. Now, you have a lot of things going on. You're speaking to folks, and you're trying to change the people's vocabulary out here. So tell me, optimism here. What is I know I read your quote here. But help me out. How is optimism your best friend right now?
You know, optimism just means that you have to, see things differently. And you have to look, I guess, be positive. And for me, my optimism statement is I live my life full of purpose.
Right.
And when you live your life full of purpose, and especially with us all having a God, and God created us to be, when he created us, he had a thought in mind.
All right.
And because he had a thought in mind, a lot of us, sometimes when we do not do what he created us to do, we seem kind of off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, what I like to help people do is to find their purpose, find their passion, do what God created to be, and then that's part of making them be whole and complete.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, how can you help people really internalize optimism when they are so full of pessimism and the culture tells them all the things they can't do? How do you do that with them?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I know that's a lot. A lot of people do that. One thing I have to say is don't listen to your naysayers and all the people that are telling you what you cannot do. And if that's where your mindset is, you are believing that you cannot do something. Switch it to the opposite. Believe that you can do anything. Scripture says you can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That is all. That's everything. That's nothing that you cannot do. And so even when it looks like you cannot do something, and sometimes it does look that way, sometimes you are having a hard time, sometimes it is a bad situation. I'm not saying things like that don't happen, but you have to make life happen no matter what. So you have to believe that you can do anything, that power is in you. And with that, you take that power within yourself and make life happen, and it will happen.
Now, hold on. Now, tell me, how did the light bulb come on for you?
You know, I think I was always this type of person. Let me tell you, I know I was. I came from a family, a very large family, that were very, very, very positive. And one of the things that they taught us, my granddad taught my parent, my mother, a poem. And the poem was called "It Couldn't Be Done." And when I look back over my life, I knew that my
My people knew up front that they could do anything. And the poem says, somebody says it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied, thought maybe it couldn't, but I'd be the one that wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a bit of a grin on his face. If he worried he hit it, he started to sing as he tackled that thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, you'll never do that, at least no one's ever done it. So he took off his coat and took off his hat, and next thing you knew, he begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quitting, he started to sing as he tackled that thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Thousands would tell you it cannot be done. Thousands will prophesy your failures. Thousands will point out to you one by one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But buckle right in with a bit of a grin. Take off your coat and go to it. Start interesting as you tackle that thing that couldn't be done, and you'll do it. And that poem was taught from my grandfather to my mother, who taught it to me. And that's how my family, so it was always in me from birth, I would say, that I could do anything. So the light bulb, I don't think it ever hit. I knew I could always do anything. I just didn't know my purpose. And then when I finally realized my purpose, it all came together that I was here to help other people find out that they could do anything as well.
Wow, wow, hey, that's great, hey, fantastic. Well, you know what, I would like for you to do now. What I do every week, I listen to the show and I take my notes and so forth, but that poem was so classic, I don't want to just scan over, gloss over that. Do me a favor, afterwards, sometime in the next, you know, few days or so, soon you get a nice, quiet moment, email me that and I'll share that with everybody. Can
I sure
you do
will.
That?
Yeah, sure will.
Okay, good.
I'm writing
good
it down, like a reminder note.
Yeah, yeah, because I do that. I take notes, but I don't transcribe everything. But that was so detailed. I don't want to miss and not one word of that. So please just email that, and I'll share it with everybody so everybody can see that and internalize it for themselves. Cause I want folks to get it. You know.
That's right. That's right. And the thing about it, it was taught to me so young, it's in me. It's in my spirit. So you can teach it to your kids and put it in their spirit, and thus the world will change.
Ooh, I love it. So tell me, hold on, wait a minute now. So you actually grew up with this in your household?
In my household. That's what I was taught at a young age, that I could do anything. And so my family was that type of family. They never really belittled us or told us that we couldn't do something, never thought I couldn't do it. I always was the one who was telling my friends, why don't you try that? How do you know you can't do it? You try it anyway. And so what I always talk about with purpose is if you look along the course of your life, you'll see inklings of your purpose. So the fact that I am now a motivational speaker, someone who helps people to find their purpose, encourages them to be better, if you look back over my life, you will see that I was already this person. I was always encouraging people. I was always helping people because it was put in me through my parents, who was put in them through their grandparents, and so on and so forth. Because my granddad learned it from his dad. So it went down for generations. That point and that thinking went down for generations to generations to generations. And I taught the same poem to my children, who I pray to their children.
Wow, man, I'm super impressed. Good God Almighty. Wow. Now, help me out with something else. Now, you said that you also help people change their language and change how they're actually verbalizing their situation or just kind of what they're putting out into the atmosphere. So help me with that. How do we change the language?
Well, the language not necessarily is just language. It's really like your thinking, believing that you can't. Like a lot of times people believe they can't. They listen to the majority, and sometimes the majority. I'll give you a situation. I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse by trade, and I used to work at a psych hospital. And at this psych hospital, they were so negative. I mean, it was unreal. But
really?
I used to go there, and when I went there on take a break, I would read these books, motivational books, How to Be a Millionaire. I read those kind of material, and so. Even though these people virtually hated me almost because I read those books. Because they were constantly, the majority of them would say, that's never going to happen for you. You're not going to ever do that. I mean, it was a bad experience, let's just say that.
Wow.
And it was only because I was seeking difference. And so what I'm saying about language is there's a lot of those. What if I had just said, okay, well, everybody's saying that, everybody meaning that atmosphere, Mm-hmm. And what if I had listened to them? Instead, I left the job and went and get away from those people because they were messing up my internal thinking.
Wow.
I don't want to be around them. I didn't want to hear what they had to say because I had a God who told me different, that I can do anything I want to do. So I don't want to listen to somebody telling me over and over again what I cannot do when my God says I can do all things through Christ. So what I had to do is find myself a new set of folks to be around. So that's what your language has to be. So if you look at other people and your crowd is negative, find a new crowd because that they will mess you up. You have to be strong. See, with me, I wasn't going to listen to them, but some people don't need to be, and you don't need to be around them. It's almost like brainwashing, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So if you brainwash yourself with a positive, I believe I can do anything I set my mind to do, and you get around people that are millionaires, are big billionaires, I mean, that's going to stretch you to become better. And so that's how you have to change your language and change your atmosphere of who you're around, because they, if they're negative, they'll bring you down. Because I saw this thing one time, and they were showing how people can bring you down to the level. And that, what happened was they had a person standing on a chair, and the other person was standing on the floor. And the person standing on the chair was trying hard to pull that person up the chair. Right. Now, how hard would that be? It's hard to pull somebody up to your level. But you know how easy it was for them to snatch that person off that chair? It didn't take nothing. So if you surround yourself with negative people, you'll look up and you will be just like them. So that's why you have to take control of your life and your situation and say, I don't want to be like that. I want to be better. So seek people who are doing, and that will help you be better.
Fantastic. Wonderful. I love it. I love it. Change your atmosphere. I like that statement right there, you know. Very good.
That's right.
Talk about the, as you know, the our current culture doesn't preach that at all. The immediate, that's why, as you know, as I always do a happy news segment on my program, which no one does.
No one does that.
I do happy news and do the opposite. Now, and we're talking to folks, and they're entrenched in the negativity, and they say, well, yeah, but, you know, how can I change my circles? Every circle I see is the same as the last circle, and how do I find these people, and how do I do that? How do I, the words sound good, but I have no mentors, no examples, and no communities around me, so where do I find these people to help change my outlook on life?
I can tell you that because that's what I get that a lot. And the first thing is you can find a book. There are millionaires. There are people that have done it before. If you read books from Donald Trump, you want to be a millionaire. He's a millionaire. He lost money. Got it back. You know, there are people out there that are positive. And then you can read their books and seek out that material. Listen to motivational tapes. You know, tapes about purpose, tapes about anything. There's any tape or any book that's going to help you look for that positive crowd, and those mentors can help you. Now, that's just a start. But if you look at different areas, if you just keep looking, eventually you will find. You have to change your focus because if you continue to be around negative people, probably you're somewhat negative as well. So that's why you got to change your own thinking. You're not going to attract. If you aren't negative, you would be upset to be around negative people. You see what I'm saying? Like I was telling you about myself, I couldn't deal with it. I knew then we were different. So you have to look at yourself and say, am I being negative, and that's why I'm attracting these type of people? Well, then if you keep on, so that's one. You find those books and you check yourself. Check yourself and see if you're negative. And just keep looking. There are things called meetup.com. They always have different type of meetups where you go and meet people that are just like you. And you just look for things that are making money. That's what I when I moved to Atlanta, I've been there 2 years, I started off going to meetups, just different meetups that I thought were with people like me. Now, eventually I found my own crowd. But, you know, another thing that people can do, I meet a lot of people on Facebook. I'm talking to a lot of people and on Facebook, and I meet them and I network with them. I've did motivational talks, and two people I met on Facebook that I just, somebody did a friend request. I don't know if it was me or them, But I do 2 speaking engagements just from meeting them on Facebook, you know.
Wow.
So there's different areas where you can seek out people, and you just look. You change your focus to, that's what Anthony Robbins said, change your focus. And you change your focus to look and seek out positive people, you eventually are going to start attracting those people to you.
I love it. I love it. Fantastic. Facebook, yeah. So you said that you actually had a couple engagements just from your Facebook encounters,
yeah, just
right?
Yeah, on Facebook. And I never knew, I never met them in person until I got to their event. But they're my friends on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Right. Yeah.
tell me about, now, yeah, you had a father and a mother in the household, did you? Both?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Okay, so you have them both in the household, and so you grew up hearing this positive, progressive kind of atmosphere. I assume that they got along, and so it was love and compassion in the household as
well,
you were growing up.
Well, it was, you know, my parents, actually it was really mostly my mother and my dad. My would say my parents are not really equally yoked. Let me say that. But... So my parents, they're still married today, so it's nothing like, not a bad relationship, nothing like that. But my mother was the one that really had that type of thinking. My dad, on the other hand, had a sort of a more conservative, I would say, way to think. He didn't think, he more had more of a boxed-in thinking, I would say. It was really mostly my mother who was more like the backbone of the house, I would say, or the strong person. And it was her dad... Her dad, who taught her the point, who taught her the thinking, who taught it to me, who I taught it to my kids. But she was so strong in her belief that even though my dad was more, I say, closed-minded, I still went to what my mother, the way my mother thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know, in black families, it's usually the mother that's a strong backbone anyway.
Yeah. And she was.
Yeah, I had it in my family too, so I understand that part. Wow. This is very, very good. So you had it growing up, and so you always saw life in different perspectives than probably a lot of your peers in school, didn't you?
Yeah, and you know, it was a lot different. I was always the leader at my school. I was always some of my friends, I'm still their friend now, and I was always the one encouraging them, why don't you try anyway? Try to do this. And they'll tell you that I have a friend that went to nursing school. She said, because of me. I have a friend that is singing that now. Why? Because of me. Because I always push people, just try it anyway. You know, you sure you can't do that? What do you mean? How do you know you can't do it? Just try. You know, that's what my mother did to me. So when I hear people say I can, it bugs me. So
I
don't listen to it.
yeah, really, really, really. Word can to me really means disabled. That's what it can't mean.
Right.
And so, if they say I can't walk, you have no legs. Okay, I understand. Now you can't walk. Now that part I got. Okay, because you don't have any legs. All right, you know. So.
But I would still, you know, if I heard that, I would say, well, you still need to make it happen some kind
of
way.
Right.
You know, you can still get there. You know, you might can't walk, but you can get there some kind of way. And then
exactly.
Way you gotta scoot, you gotta crawl, you gotta do something, you gotta get somebody to carry you. Something, make it happen. See, that's the way I think. I don't let the problems become the excuse. I tell my kids that all the time. There's no excuses. Figure out a way to make it happen. So that's what life's about. Making it happen no matter what.
That's right. And what inspired you to start an organization for the kids? What happened there?
Okay, I was in my church. I was a youth leader, and what I noticed in the church, just growing up, that a lot of times when I went on this trip, my mother used to send me to camp and with my church, but I would be like the only one that went, or maybe 2 people would go. So all of a sudden, I think when I grew up and was adult, I wanted to offer these same trips that was offered to me as a child, but it was the same ratio, 2 people going. I thought, this is crazy. Why is only so many, it's 40 kids in this church, but it's only 2 kids going. So what I did was I just started to go up to each child and said, would you like to go to camp? And would you like to go to Congress or just, you know, whatever? And they would say, well, I don't have the money. I was like, well, I didn't ask you that. I said, did you want to go? Well, when I took the money option away, I realized, this is the problem, that some of these people don't have money, and some of people did have money. So what I did was I opened up the options both ways, whether you had the money or not. everybody could go. No child was left behind. But when we did it that way, the numbers went up to 30 and 40, or, you know, every kid almost in the whole church would go on these trips. Well, this was just at my church. And so when I moved to Atlanta, I decided to continue that ministry and to make it into a nonprofit and make it bigger. You know, it's not where I want it to be yet, but it's on the way to becoming very big. And really, I want it to be worldwide. Because it's no child should be left behind. And the stepping out of the box just means that wherever you live, if you live in California, if you live in Atlanta, you live in Kentucky, wherever, that is your, and I'm talking about your neighborhood. If you don't leave your neighborhood, then that right there is your box. And
right.
In order to grow and to see the world for real, you got to step out of that box and you got to get out. And the more places that you are exposed to, the better you're going to be. So that's our motto as stepping out of the box, is to help these kids expand their minds so wide that excellence falls in. So the more they get to see Texas, or they get to go to Italy or Paris or whatever place I can take them to see, then they can't continue believing what they did while they were in that boxed-in setting. And even adults need to get the same concept, honestly. It's just if you stay in your same neighborhood, at your same church, at your same whatever, you're only seeing the world in that small setting. And then you think the world is that way, but it's not. It is much bigger and much broader. And the only way, the only way is for you to know that or to find that out is through travel. But who misses out on that? Kids that don't have money. People that don't have money. And so what Stepping Out of the Box does, it helps low-income kids to travel. And that's where the entire concept is.
So I imagine you must have a lot of corporate sponsorship for you, do you?
Yes, I am. Well, we're a new organization. Actually, I've only been in Atlanta 2 years, and I didn't get my 501c3 until actually this year. So we're just still kind of new at getting it. But, yes, we are getting corporate sponsors, and, you know, we have to, that's the way we do it, with fundraising and all kind of ways. And I have a book that is coming out actually the end of this month. It's called it's called No Child Left Behind, and that book is going to help other people do the same thing. Because what I realize is, if just say a million people bought my book, for example, and they all utilize the same thing that I'm doing, and they started a million other organizations. They don't have to call it Stepping Out of the Box, whatever they want to call it, but it's still the same concept.
Right.
Do you know how many more kids could travel at one time than if I just did it myself? So I thought, why not give them the same foundation that you did? Just show them what you did, show them what you're doing, and let them do the same. So what I'm encouraging people to do is to do the same thing in other, like in schools, in churches. Like, cause I'll give an example. I took my daughter to New York in a school function 1 year. Well, her friends didn't have money, and they couldn't go. They wasn't even offered the option to go. So what I would encourage schools to do like that, to do the same thing I did in that's in the book, to utilize it, start these same programs so that no child is left behind because they don't have the money.
So tell me now this sounds really fantastic. So how are you recruiting these kids? Are you starting with your church? How do you get the kids?
What I did was the original group is really came from my church.
Okay.
And that but it's not going to stay there. We're in a neighborhood at this time that's kind of, I would say, the hood, if you want to call it. So it's a very good neighborhood to start, because this is what I want. And so the original group is my church. And actually, we're going on a trip in Florida next month, actually.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to Universal Studios, and it's the same concept. No child left behind because of money, the same deal. But what we're going to do on our next trip, we're going to incorporate the neighborhood. So that's where we're going to go down to the schools before school lets out and start our first trip and go on our first trip, our second trip as a nonprofit in this summer. And I'm going to just go out to schools and just get out. You know, I'm going to have to limit it because we're so new, and maybe just 20 kids can go. But like I said, that's why I wrote the book, because I want to expand it better. I want to use other people to do the same thing so that, you know, we don't have to just start off so slow, you know. But the other trip that we have gone on so far, I took some kids to Mexico. I took them on a cruise to Mexico. We went to Florida. We went to Texas. We're going to Florida. I want to go to Florida next month. And when we went to Texas, they flew for the first time. Some of the kids on the plane had never flown. And
wow.
It was just a nice, you know. And then, we went to Mexico. There were kids that had never seen sand before. So we went to the beach. They never had seen sand but that trip. So that's what this whole thing, I mean, that should get anybody pumped up to be able to take kids traveling. Just open up this new world. This world is so big. And they can see so much if we can do something to help them out. And like I said, on my website, it's called Steppin, STEPPIN, outofthebox.org. We always accept donations to do for this purpose because it's not cheap, you know, plane fare and all this stuff. We need all the money we can get, right? So,
sure.
That's what we're doing. So it excites me because that's one of my passions, to travel and then to help somebody that just can't do it. They don't have the money. So it's my job to go and help them come up with that money and come up with those trips.
Now, let's talk about the parents. Now, you're dealing with parents a lot of times that don't believe in what you're doing. They say that you're crazy and stop it, and so on and so on. And so the kids, you want to, you know, naturally want to go with you, naturally. How do you deal with the parents' pessimism?
Well, you know, a lot of times what I did when I was at the church, in my church, the first time I first started doing it, what happened was because the first few, say I took 10 kids the first time.
Sure.
Once those kids came back and they had such a successful trip,
okay,
it helped other kids see and their parents see, ooh, they had fun. Huh? So then the next group came. And so you just have to live by experience and just, you know, it's going to be word of mouth. And sometimes you have to push that. You know, they don't want their child to fly because they haven't flown before and all this type of stuff. They haven't been on a ship before and all of this stuff. So it doesn't matter. Just take who will go, and eventually it'll rub off on each. You know, you don't have to preach your message too hard. It's just they're going to eventually catch on anyway because when they see the other kid and they had such a fun time, and they're going to say, my kid's going on the next trip. And it just it'll get bigger and bigger. So that's how it happened with us. It started very small at first. I think I took 3 kids on a trip to a camp meeting, which was a 10-day trip. And the next thing I know, when I went to camp meeting the next year, I had 20 kids. So, you know, it goes different. You know, you just have to start it and just see what happens.
Mm. All right, now we talk to kids about their purpose in life and really getting them to see their own success as they get to be adults. How do you start that process in optimism? Because, again, they still have those old negative voices talking to them.
Well, I really try to teach purpose. I did a show last night, and I was talking with some other people because sometimes purpose is new. You know, a lot of times we want to teach our kids one way to be, one way to get to wherever it is that we're going to get. Example.
Right,
a lot
right.
of times we all teach our kids to go to college, and there's nothing wrong with that. And my whole family went to college. There's no problem. But do you know there's a kid out there that's supposed to be a singer? Or there's a kid out there that's supposed to be a dancer, and that's their purpose. So a lot of times we want to clout our, you know, say, no, we want you to go to college first and make sure this. And really, God made us all for a purpose. And sometimes you have to trust that he is going to do what he said. And that's what you have to put, that you have to believe in. And one thing you have to do, pray about it.
Okay.
Just ask God, is this what I am here to do? If you ask God, is this what I'm here to do? Once he says yes, don't worry about the rest. It has not been easy for me to become a motivational speaker. You have to get, you know, you have to get known. You have to be found. I mean, it is not that simple just to become. It's not like going to college, getting a job. It is not that simple. Trust me, I went to school to become a nurse, and I became a nurse, and, you know, I just went and got a job, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But as a motivational speaker, it is not the same. But if it is your purpose, if it is what God told you to do, you don't have to worry about a thing. It's going to happen. He's going to bring your dreams to life. So.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, all right. So with the kids, I love it. I'm so resonating with you. So now here you got now tell me, what are the ages of the kids?
We do teenagers at this point, but I want to partner with another organization that I found here in Atlanta, and that organization does from first grade on up. And so I was thinking about trying to maybe join with them, but at this point I just do like 13 to 18. Because
okay.
That's really my pick, because, you know, but eventually we're going to be bigger and it will expand. You know, we're growing. Like I said, this is a new foundation, but it's, you know, at this point, this is what we are.
Okay. Now, let's take the typical 15-year-old girl, let's say, and you talk to her about purpose and living the life God has for her, and she'll say, I have no idea. So what are some of the questions you might ask her to get her to think differently?
Okay, the first thing I would say, what do you like to do? What, you know, that's the whole thing. When I found my purpose, I saw a sermon by T.D. Jakes, and he said, if you look along the course of your life, you
right.
will see inklings of your purpose.
Ooh.
So even as a young child, I was always encouraging people. If somebody had asked me that, that's what I could have said, but I don't know, but for a 15-year-old, that's what I would tell them. Look at what you like to do. I can tell you some people that when I worked with kids before, I would see them, and one girl, for example, she was always into fashion. She was always into designing things. She could just, she would always have the cutest clothes on, and she would always be able to tell me what I could put on my outfit. Well, to me, that was just not looking at her. She was into fashion. That's
right.
What she could do. That's all kind of things. I said, that's what you need to do when you get out of school. You need to do something in fashion. You're already good at it. It would be easy for you. You just have to make it better. And she said, oh, really? My mother wants me to go to school. And I was like, okay. But I don't try to tell somebody against their child what to do. But please, for parents, push your child. Don't push them to do what's comfortable. Push them to do what their purpose is, because that's
right.
what's going to make them happy. You,
right.
I'm telling you, I became a nurse, and I was miserable every day. When
wow.
I became a nurse, I was unhappy. So you don't
yeah.
want your child to be unhappy. You
no.
want them to be what God created to do. There is some people that are good at rapping, and they are good at modeling, or they're good at other things that are not just that standard formal education. So we have to find out what our child is and push them in that direction. So a lot of times, we don't want to do that because we want to do what's easy. And I say easy because it's simple to go to school, get a job. And I'm not going to say simple. Let's just say you're going to get a guaranteed job is what I'm saying. Not all the time. But what I'm saying is sometimes when you do things that is outside of the box or outside of what the society teaches, it's a little different. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't want to say that I'm against any of it. I want people to find their purpose, what they're here to be. And do not be afraid if it's outside of the norm or outside of the box. Trust and believe God did not put that thing in you for you him not to help you bring it to life.
I hear you. I hear you. Yes. And now, do you find that when you're talking this way to kids, that they really kind of gravitate towards you? They kind of love to be around you. You feel you
yes.
find that you look around and you like you got they're multiplied all of a sudden.
Exactly. I am a kid person. I'm a kid magnet, and I don't care if I come to a new situation. Maybe I smile that way. I don't know, but if whatever happens, they just know I'm a kid magnet. It's just, and that's just what I say. That's also my purpose, is to help kids be better. And what I like to do is once I get them talking to me, I have to push my message somewhat of making the correct choices. See, I had four kids by 21. I don't want kids to do the same thing. I don't want them to rebel against their parents and do whatever they want to do and be like me. It took so long to get out of it, out of the mistake. If you just make up your mind that you're going to make a decision right now, your life will be so much better than having to do it all around the Marlboro, which like I had to do. So a
yeah.
lot of times when I'm connecting with those kids, I eventually slide in a message of how to make the right choices and how to be the person God wants them to be. And so they do listen. They do that.
Now you brought up another important point there. Now, see, with your way where you grew up, you had all these positive messages, and you had these wonderful, guides around you. However, something happened in your adolescence that you kind of slipped a little bit.
That's
and,
right.
You know, so here you have, I mentioned 15-year-old, and like, you know, it might have been the same age as you kind of went the other side.
right.
You know, and so now, what are you telling those girls that someone did not tell you, because even though you had all these great things going on, there was some kind of void at the time you needed to have that filled, mm-hmm. and wasn't there for you.
So what I focus on is I try to push and find out what that void is in that child. So that's the key, is knowing that maybe there is some void. Some people, there might not be, but I look for the ones, and usually the ones that gravitate to me, and they do have some sort of void. And so I try to show them how to still be happy even though they have that void, and how not to do the same thing. Because what happens is when you have that void, that's what makes the women, our girls, for example, that's what makes them gravitate to the wrong boys. Or if you didn't have a dad, for example, in the household, you may not really know how to be in a positive relationship with a man, so you gravitate to the wrong men. So I kind of push them to, even though you were in this situation, don't let this situation make your decisions for you. Because that's what happens. You go and you had these hard times and make decisions I say would be easy because you are in a bad situation. And I see a lot of people, when they're in a bad situation, they make a lot of wrong decisions. So I try to show them that just because you're in that bad situation and you may be feeling bored and maybe things aren't right, but make the right decision for you. Don't do the wrong thing. Utilize your strength, and I try to point out the positive in them. Always, when I'm around kids, I always say, "Oh, girl, you can do this. You got this." You know, I'm always uplifting them in some kind of way to help them be the best person that God would have them to be.
Okay, now right there. So, what happened to you right there? There was some kind of void you had that, and wrong person filled it. What happened to you?
I think that I was so naive at the time, and that's another thing. Is I was raised in a church, and I think that what I did not know was that there were just people. I was so trusting of people,
okay.
And I trusted everybody. And I think I was I had good parents, and I think I was kind of sheltered. And
okay.
So because I was so sheltered, a vulture would be able to come in. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
So I was so naive that this person was able to come in, and I just didn't have a clue.
Right.
So it was really a person that came in. It wasn't so much of me, because once that person was gone, I really wasn't out there that much. I still was the same person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly with this person, because
right.
all my story is with this person. I had four kids by 21 with this person. I was a survivor of domestic violence from this person. Homeless with this person. Right.
Oh, no.
Yes. So all these things came from a person. So, you know, I guess you have to teach your kids, I would say, how there are vultures out there, there are people out there, and it maybe just make them aware that everybody is not your friend, and everybody should not be allowed to set up camp in your life. And that's what I learned.
Now, hold on. Now, right there, whoa, another door just opened up. Now, wait a minute. Now, even though this person kind of put you to the dark side, were your parents in your life at that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, my parents forbade me to date the guy. But I snuck and dated him anyway.
Oh, okay,
so that was the first thing. And by the time I got pregnant, that's when they found out about me dating the guy. So, but it was still like I was already so caught up when my parents told me I couldn't date them, and I just still felt like I needed to see them. But most of my problems from that point on was mostly because of the person, the same person.
Wow. Okay. So even though you had these good messages and all that going on, there
yeah.
was still a void that
That's
wasn't
right.
filled by that environment that this person
right.
filled, and
That's
kind
right.
of took you off the path.
That's right. That's right.
Wow,
right.
isn't that something? So yeah.
And you know, let me just say this.
Yes,
I'm say another thing too. This is what I might be missing. My dad is my stepdad.
Okay.
My biological father is not around, never was around. And I believe maybe that is part of the void as well, because he never was around. So that could be part of it as well, even though that my dad was around. My dad, who I call my dad, is merely my stepdad. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I think that could be part of it, and that he never wanted to even be in my life. It was did not want it, didn't have no desire, and I think that part of that form of rejection makes you feel a void. And so
now the stepdad though, was he loving toward you? Was he compassionate toward you? Was he okay?
Remember I told you my stepdad was a little different. He was more conservative, it's a structured type person. So I would say somewhat, but not really.
Okay, he was kind of distant then, right?
Distant. There you go. But now we're fine. But I'm just saying at that point,
at that time, it was not.
That's probably somewhat of a void was missing, was the dad. And so the man, you know, like I said, if you don't have a dad, quote unquote, then you're going to be missing that. You're going to look for that in other men. And so what I try to tell other girls is that so what? He's not around. Feel, you know, I try to teach them how to feel that void with themselves, you know. And I had to learn it too. It wasn't always just in me and I woke up and then there I was. No. I had to learn to take a stance because I used to allow all kind of rotten people in my life until I learned that God put it in me and said, you can't let everybody set up camp in your life. And the scripture that says it is, guard your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart. You don't let everybody up in your life.
Right, exactly. Now, one thing that I've directed a few different youth programs, that's really my passion also. One thing I've told the girls is that there are always positive male role models out there. They got the Boys and Girls Club. They got a lot of legitimate organizations that have real good positive male role models there. You know, it might be a positive uncle or a positive male cousin.
That's right.
They're out there. You know, because you need to have that in your life.
And what I would encourage like men to do is that are positive themselves. To maybe join those Boys and Girls Club or the, you know, anything that will help these girls feel that missing voice so they don't let some boy come in and be able to set up camp in their life and, you know, delay their life some.
Right, exactly. There's always out there. I tell our single mothers the same thing. As you don't have a man in your life, there's one. Find one, but not find one to marry for that purpose, but find a positive brother, find a positive uncle. Find a positive a male neighbor, and fill. You gotta fill the void. Void positively, you know, so the girls aren't looking for it out in the street somewhere.
That's right, because once that guy sets up camp, it's hard to get rid of him. I was with my kid's father 7 years, and that was a long time, you know. And 4 kids later, and I end up raising my kids by myself.
Ooh, I remember my wife Dorothy. She got a lot of input in that because she had six. Dorothy, are you there? Because she had to raise six, and it was she had to run away. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes.
There you are. Yeah, and then tell Terry briefly your situation. You had six, right?
Yes. I went through a sort of an escape. And anyway, it's a lot. It's so far behind. I've kind of gone forward and not really talk about it much anymore, but I was married very young and divorced after six children, but a lot of separations in between, and my mother thought maybe because my parents were divorced, and she thought maybe that would be part of it, that maybe that would have been the void that would date someone. Get married young, have children, divorce. This is my third marriage, so anyway.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she has a story there, too, yeah. So I tell you what, now we're coming to close the program now. Terry, tell us about, now we already know about your website, steppingoutofthebox.org, right?
Yeah, I have stepping, STEPPIN, out of the box.org, and I also have Terry Clay, TERRI. CLAY.info. And you can get me on either one of those websites. And the TerryClay.info, it connects with the Stepping Out of the Box as well. You can just connect that one. That one has all my information on it. So.
And also, now you have your own Blog Talk Radio program, too.
Yes, it's Talking with Terry. I have it. It's on every Friday at 6 p.m. We have our show, the book that I'm in, The 99 Tips to Expand Your Business. I have the authors in the book on next Friday's show at 6 o'clock. So,
Please come back.
Okay, and so tell us a little more about the program. Now, your program's goals are what now?
It's about purpose. The whole show is about purpose and helping people to find their purpose. So I have a guest on each show,
And
just some kind of way to help them go towards their destinies and their purpose. And so who I invited on to the show next week is I'm in a book, 99 Tips to Expand Your Business Today.
Gotcha.
And I'm featured in the book, and a lot of the authors of the book are going to be on the show on Friday.
Ah, okay. Very good, very good. So people can do that. Now, so tell me the web address for your Blog Talk Radio program.
It's Terry Clay. I don't know. It's Talking with Terry. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know the link. But if you look on Talking, if you punch in Talking with Terry in the search, you'll find me. I'm all over the place in Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. All right. So they can find you that way. Very good. So
yeah.
I tell you what. So is your website, the Stepping Out of the Box, that's up and running now, right? People can go there now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, tell you what, if you can do this for me, if you can go on my show page and put a comment on the, toward the right, the main comment, and put your information about the website there.
Okay.
Okay. So when people go to our show page, they can go there and they say, well, I heard her talk, but, you know, I want to donate. What's the website? And they can go to the comment, put it there, and they say, "Oh, there it is." Okay, I'm going to do some. Or they might want to contact you. You know.
Right. You can donate on either website. It has buttons on both websites to donate. So you know, it's for Stepping Out of the Box. So I would appreciate that. The kids need it, and I would thank you for it.
Good, wonderful, good. So you'll do that. So everybody can go there to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, reconnected is a show. And then you'll see the comment. You'll see Terry Clay's information there. You can go there and get her information for sure. And if you're on my book club email list, you'll get her a poem next week. If you're not, go to nrbookclub@cox.net. Again, nrbookclub@cox.net and get on that list. Then you actually get weekly reminders and promo information, and also book information about the book coming out. So, all right, so we're going to end the program now. So, thank you, Terry, for coming. I appreciate you a lot. You're another angel I have on my network now.
Thank you.
So, I've now dubbed you official angel.
All righty.
Yes. You've been dubbed. There you go. All right, so. So come back anytime and join the show there, and I'm going to look at hearing your show on Fridays too.
All righty, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks so much, and everybody come back next week and hear a reconnected show. We'll close up with our theme song called Sakin, which means tranquil. So if you want to do a little cha cha or a little salsa, you can do it now. So we'll end with that, and thank you, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.